But hey, I want you to picture this. All right, so you're at home and you get a message. Maybe it's a text message, maybe a call, however. You get a message, and the message is this. Hey, just wanted to let you know, Jesus is coming over for supper tonight. He said he'd be there in about 10 minutes. Just want to give you a heads up. Seriously, he's coming over. He's going to be at your house in 10 minutes. You get that message, and then he's literally coming. So how do you respond? Some people will panic, won't they, right? Jesus is coming over. Okay, and you look, and it's like, oh, you start straightening up the den, and you vacuum, and you sweep, and you light a candle, right? You get your best, the best china out. You make sure that the food that you're already preparing for supper is going to be enough to feed him and anybody else. And so, you know, you're running around trying to get everything just right, right? You want everything just to be the best it can be. Why? Because Jesus is coming. So some people respond in that way. Others may respond a little differently. They get the same message, and they're like, instead of panic, there's excitement. And they're like, oh, wow, Jesus, come, oh, I can't wait. And it's like, forget the house. Who else can I invite? And so you text all your friends and say, you're not going to believe this, but Jesus is coming to have supper tonight. I've ordered Little Caesars. I hear that's his favorite. We're going to have plenty, so come on over. Get here as quick as you can. Because you are so excited just to get to hang out with Jesus, right? To spend some time with him, maybe to talk to him and ask questions, just to be there with him. And so there's two responses, right? There's one visit, but there's two different responses. And that is the tension that we find when we read about Mary and Martha. We find that story in Luke's gospel, and only in Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 10. So I'm going to invite you to stand so that we can stand again. That comes, and we hear this story, we hear these words from Luke chapter 10.
While Jesus and his disciples were traveling, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him as a guest. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his message. By contrast, Martha was preoccupied with getting everything ready for their meal. So Martha came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to prepare the table all by myself? Tell her to help me. The Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part. It won't be taken away from her. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Now you can be seated again. So what is it? Martha prepares and Mary sits, right? One expresses her love to Jesus through service. The other expresses it through attention. And if we're honest and if we're reading this story, many times we are pulled in one direction or the other. So we're going to look at this story. It's another one of those instances where Jesus gathers with people and breaks bread, and he gathers with them around a table. And so that's what we've been doing during this Lenten season, is looking at all the different situations and accounts of when Jesus did that in Luke's gospel. Because what we find is that many times some of the most important things that he does or says happens when he's breaking bread and he's gathering around the table. Now, as I mentioned, this particular story is only found in Luke. Now, Mary and Martha, they show up in other stories about them, primarily in John. We read about them in John. They have a brother as well. Do you remember the brother's name? Lazarus, right? Lazarus is their brother, and so we read about them in John's gospel. But Luke tells us that they are from the town of Bethany. Now, Bethany is on the backside of the Mount of Olives, just outside of Jerusalem. We got a little map there, kind of give you, there's across the Kidron Valley there. You'll find there's the Mount of Olives, and Bethany's on the backside. I got another picture of kind of what it looks like today there. And this is where Bethany is. And so this is Jesus. He's, you know, if you were with us last week, where was he? He was up around the Sea of Galilee and Bethsaida and Capernaum. And now he's, you know, he's moved closer to Jerusalem, just outside of Jerusalem. And that's where he has come to have dinner with Mary and Martha. Well, it says in Luke. Maybe Lazarus there, we don't know. We don't know. All right, but we know that there's a close connection. If you read John's gospel, we know that there's a close connection between Jesus and the family there, because if you know the story, Lazarus passes away. They send word to Jesus. Jesus is not able to get there quickly, and it says that Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible was found in John chapter 11, right? Jesus wept, two words. But I think it points to the connection that he had with his family. And so when he's in town, right, when he is in town, Mary and Martha, they invite him over for dinner. They invite him over, and not just him, I think. I think there's others that are invited as well, because Jesus is not only their friend, he's also, right, the most famous rabbi at the time in the land. And so there's other folks I think are there as well. And I say that because it says in Luke that she had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his message. So Jesus is there, and I think there's other people there, and Jesus is teaching, he's sharing. We don't know what it is, but he's speaking, and Mary is there at his feet, taking all of this in. And then what's Martha doing? Well, see, Martha's the one who panicked, and so she's getting the meal ready. She's focused on being a good host. She's making all the necessary preparations. I mean, it's Jesus, even though he's a friend of theirs, is still, you got all these other guests. There's a little more pressure, I think, probably she's feeling at that moment, just to make sure everything is right. And I can understand that. Last week, Mindy told me, she said, hey, Lily's going to be in on Saturday. Our daughter Lily's going to be in on Saturday. I said, oh, great, that'll be awesome. We hadn't seen her in a while, so it'll be awesome. And so Saturday morning rolls in, and Mindy says, Lily's going to be here later this morning, and Ollie's going to be with her. Now, Ollie is her boyfriend. And so at that moment, the situation just changed. Okay? All right? Because the next phrase was, I need you to help straighten up and clean up downstairs. And I'm thinking, it's just Lily's boyfriend. Who really cares? And it's not like downstairs was a mess. So it's just, that wasn't the thing. But, you know, when you have guests coming over, or friends coming over, or boyfriends coming over, all of a sudden things change. You got to get things in order. So the stress level goes up. And so I say to Mindy, I said, so what do you want me to do? I mean, what exactly do you want me to do downstairs? And I asked that question because I know that what I would do is not exactly what she would do. And so I wanted to be really clear as to what it is that I needed to accomplish. And so she said, well, I need you to, you know, wipe down the counters and fill the dishwasher and take care of the floors and dust. And so it was a good list. What I didn't realize is that in that list, I went downstairs and on the counter was the list. She said, I left you the list downstairs, and there was two pieces of paper. Now, I thought both of those lists were for me. Reality was that actually part of it was for her, but I didn't know that. And so here I am, you know, I'm getting everything in the dishwasher, and I'm dusting real quick, and I'm straightening up the pillows, and I'm vacuuming, and I'm mopping the floors. I didn't even say mop the floors. I said, well, I didn't know. I'm mopping the floors, and then Lily and Ollie walk in while I'm still mopping the floor there. It can be a stressful time. Ironic thing is, I think Ollie was in our house for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes for the whole time. Because he went, Lily had a doctor's appointment, and so he went with her to the doctor's appointment, and then we met them in town, and Matthew's here for lunch, and then they were back on the road to Durham. So all that work for, I don't know. I knocked out the list, though, I'll tell you that. I knocked it out. But do I think that Ollie cared? No, I don't think Ollie cared at all. But see, that was kind of where Martha was, though. Martha wasn't thinking about herself. She just wanted to be a good host, and she wanted to make sure everything was done right and do it the best that she could. And so when she looks over and she sees Mary just sitting at Jesus' feet, it's irritating to her. I can relate. There have been times where I've come home, and I look, and there's stuff all over the kitchen. Then I look, and I see people sitting on the couch, my kids, doing nothing, you know, and so it gets a little bit irritating when you're, you know, all this and you could be doing something and here you're not doing anything. But I can understand. But it's interesting, Jesus does not chastise Martha. You know, he lets her do what she is doing. She lets her, he lets her be who she is, if you think about it. I mean, Jesus never says, hey, what are you doing? You know, sit down. He doesn't say anything to her until Martha comes to Jesus complaining about Mary, right? What does he say? She says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to prepare the table all by myself? Tell her to help me. And this is what Jesus says. Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. One thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the better part, and it won't be taken away from her. So in this, I don't get the sense that Jesus is angry with Martha in this, you know, in this case. I think it's more like, come on, you know better than this, right? You know, you're worried, you're distracted by many things, and I know you're just trying to make everything just right, and thank you for, I mean, that's been a blessing. Thank you for all of that. But you know what? We could have just had bread and water, and that would have been fine too. So I don't think Jesus is upset with Martha. I mean, Martha is not the villain, okay? Martha's just simply being hospitable, isn't she? She's opened her home. She's serving. It's not unimportant kind of stuff. It's just that somewhere in the midst of the chopping and the stirring and the setting the table and the refilling drinks and all those kind of things, she kind of loses her focus. She kind of loses the moment. When my kids were much younger and I would come home and they would be excited to tell me about what was going on at school or something they had done. And so they would be like, Dad, let me, and they'd be talking to me about all this and all that. And I would just be there and I'd be nodding my head. But in reality, I was thinking about stuff maybe I still didn't do at church or whatever it might be. And so there were times where they picked up on that. And they would just, I can remember them just say, one, putting their hands on my face and saying, Dad, pay attention. Because the reality was, I really wasn't. I was distracted. I really wasn't engaged. And it can happen. I mean, we can easily be distracted. We can easily disengage or not be engaged. I mean, right here, I mean, this is the number one thing, right? Right? This is our biggest distraction. We carry them everywhere we go. We look at them constantly, right? I think I shared with you before, studies have been done, and they say that we check our phones at least about 96 times a day. About every 10 minutes, we'll look at our phone. Yeah, and we can have it on silent, and we can be in a meeting and it's on silent, but it can still go off. You know, it might buzz or flash, and we may not even pick it up, but you know what we're doing? We're thinking about not what's happening in the meeting or whatever we're with at the moment. And we're thinking about, who's trying to get a hold of me? What is the message? And so we easily, you know, we become distracted, don't we? I have a feeling probably some of y'all have probably checked your phones during worship today, right? Maybe already during my sermon. She's like, man, I hope this is going by quick. Anyway, and we realize that, hey, you have your phones. That's why we say, hey, use your phone, a QR, to register your presence, to get more information, because we know we have it with us all the time. But it can be a tool that serves us well, but it can be just a double-edged sword. It can also be a distraction when it shouldn't be. Martha was distracted. She's doing a good thing. You know, somebody had to take care of the meal and the preparation to do all of those things. The problem was she only focused on that aspect. And in doing that, she didn't really realize that the bread of life was there in her midst trying to feed her. She got caught in the trap of doing for Jesus without being with Jesus. Caught just simply focused on doing for Jesus good things, but forgot about, distracted from, making sure to be with Jesus. We can get caught in that same trap, can't we? I mean, we can serve on committees, and we can attend meetings, and we can volunteer, and we can plan events, and we can teach classes, and we can sing in the choir, and we can go on mission trips, and we can help with the youth, and we can do things with the children. We can do a lot, and we do a lot for Jesus, don't we? But if we're not careful, we can forget that we also need to take the time to be with Jesus as well. You know, Jesus doesn't rebuke Martha, okay? I think what he does, he's trying to get her to reorder priorities. He says, you know, the Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. He didn't say they were bad things, just a lot of things. One thing is necessary, though. Meaning one thing, we start here. And Mary has chosen the better part, and it won't be taken from her. In other words, the order matters. Because being, all right, fuels the doing, presence fuels the productivity, the intimacy, you know, fuels the impact, I think, the way to think about it. So Jesus says it is the better part. Right? But here's the thing. If everyone only sat at Jesus' feet, dinner would never be served, wouldn't it? Right, so we have to remember that as well. Because the danger for those of us who lean more toward Mary, and there are, who are wired more like Mary, it's not the danger of distraction. We're not distracted. The danger becomes the disengagement is what I call it. The disengagement. What I mean by that is, you know, I've known people through the years, through churches, that if you had a Bible study, they signed up for every one of them. They were always there. If we were gathering for worship, they were always there. If there was a prayer group, they were always, you know, they were always a part of it. You could count on them, always. They loved sitting at Jesus' feet. Good stuff, good things, right? They loved that. You know, they loved increasing their biblical knowledge. They loved deepening in their faith, sitting at Jesus' feet. I mean, great stuff, right? But see, if you're only sitting at Jesus' feet, right, and never moving, then we're missing out. Because here's the thing, faith has to move. It must move. You read the Gospels every time. You know, Jesus, it would always lead to action. Come, get away, come, and then what? Go and do. Come, and he'd teach, and he'd speak, and then he'd send out. It always led to action. So we have to remember, if we're only sitting at his feet, then we're missing out. Because here's the thing, it's not an either or, okay? It's not Martha, and it's not just Mary. It's a both and. Because if we're more like Martha, then we need a little bit of Mary. If we're more like Mary, then we need a little bit of Martha. Because it's a both and. We sit and we serve and we listen and we act and we receive and then we respond. It's a both and, not one or the other. Kind of think of it like this. Think of our, you know, your hearts. Our hearts beat. Well, if we're alive, they're beating, right? And what are they doing? They're contracting, and right? And so when they contract, they're pushing the blood through the body, aren't they? Isn't it? When it releases, what is it doing? It's, you know, the kind of heart's refilling itself. And we're kind of think about it, the Christian life is the same way. Without the contraction, without the release, the system would fail. In our lives, it's the same way. You know, service is the contraction. Stillness is when we are refilled. And if you remove either one, right, it fails. So every Martha needs some Mary. Every Mary needs some Martha. Now, for those of us who maybe lean more toward Mary, we already understand how important it is to be at Jesus' feet. We just got to make sure we move. Right? And so that's why we're always saying, hey, you know what? Just encouraging. Here's ways that you can move. Here's ways that you can serve, right? You can, you know, bring food and donate it to the food pantry, or you know, we got the youth have their potato bake and dessert auction. So you make a dessert maybe for the auction, or you help with VBS later in June, or maybe you be a Christian friend and yet visit some of our homebound folks, or you send an encouraging word or card, or you make sandwiches for Thursday mornings, or you maybe it's a pan of brownies for the men's shelter, or whatever. There's always a way to, what, to serve, isn't there? So if, again, if you lean more toward Mary, it's not just about sitting at Jesus' feet. It's not about just the destination, because the sitting at Jesus' feet is really about it's preparing us to move and to serve. The opposite is true. Right? For those of us who lean more toward Martha, we got to remember that we got to take time to be with Jesus, don't we? Not just do, but to be with it. And so it might look like, you know, we always do the Lenten devotional. You know, you can sign up and get that every day, a little devotional. And so what do? It's just an intentional way to be with Jesus, isn't it? To spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes maybe, to read it, to read through Luke as we're doing during this Lenten season. It's, again, it's just how you can be with Jesus. And so you do. You sit. Maybe instead of picking up the phone first thing in the morning, all right, you sit. And use that time as prayer. You make mini Sabbaths, maybe. You pause and give thanks before your meal when you're sitting in the car line, or you're sitting in traffic and you're waiting, and instead of picking up the phone maybe or changing the radio station, you spend that moment in some way with God. You know, when you come to worship, we come to worship to be with Jesus. It's participation, not observation, right? And so we come expecting. And we come, okay, it's not like, well, gosh, I didn't like that hymn today. Or, gosh, Ken talked too long, or whatever it might be. It's like, hey, what was God saying to me today? And so we come to engage, to be with, not just to observe. And then if you're a lot like Martha, you're probably already doing this. And that is, if you're like Martha, you probably schedule things, right? You plan for things. And so why not schedule or plan to be with Jesus? Put it on the calendar if you need to. I mean, again, think of it like a reservoir. Your water flows in, and if that water flows in, if it never flows out, what happens? Eventually it'll get stagnant. Or if all the water just flows out and water never flows in, then what happens? It'll eventually run dry, won't it? We're a lot like that. You know, our faith, it requires the inflow, but also we're called to serve. It's the outflow as well, to sit at Jesus' feet, but then to rise and to go. So let's go back to where we started, the very beginning. Jesus has come, okay, and he is there at your home, and he is having a supper with you, and the food is good because Martha prepared it really well, and the conversation is good, and you're listening, and you're engaged, and as you're there, so picture yourself there, right? As you're there, Jesus, just very gently, I think as he did with Martha, he says your name twice. He says, Ken, says your name twice. And so you lean in. And then what does he say to you? What does he say to you? Is he inviting you to maybe slow down and to be with him a little bit more? Is he inviting you to step up? Whether you lean more toward Mary or more toward Martha, what is Jesus saying to you when he says your name? Because here's the thing, I think we're called to sit long enough to be changed so that we might rise and go and make a difference. Because I'll tell you, the world doesn't need people who just talk about Jesus. And the world doesn't need people who just work for Jesus. The world needs people who do both. Who do both. And so Jesus says, hey, come to the table because everyone is invited to the table. Come and sit, and then go and rise. All right? Go, rise. Maybe make that phone call you've been putting off. Maybe just send that note to someone that you know that could use an encouraging word. Go and rise and go and maybe feed the hungry literally or spiritually. To encourage, to teach the child to do justice. Show mercy, walk humbly with your God. Come to the table, sit, but then rise and go. Because we need a little bit of Mary and we need a little bit of Martha. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks. You welcomed Mary at your feet and you love Martha and her doing. And so we thank you for inviting us to that very same table. Because if we're honest, Lord, sometimes we're just too busy and we forget to be with you. And sometimes we linger at your feet and we forget to rise and to go and to serve. And so, Lord, quiet our anxious hearts or slow our hurried spirits. Teach us to sit in your presence without distraction. But also to listen for your voice above the noise so that we might rise and go and do for you as well. To serve without resentment, to love as you would love, to act with compassion. So Lord, help us to have a little bit of Martha and a little bit of Mary within us. For it's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.